Father, we just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. This morning, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you that you gave us breath, that we may praise you, we may worship you, we may proclaim your goodness and your glory, O Father. We just thank you, Lord, for the strength you gave us, that we woke up and found our bodies were sound, that we had food on our table, everything we needed for life you have already given us. We just thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Truly, we do not even have to pray, give us this day our daily bread, because you have given it already. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We commit this day and all the battles that come with it. We know the battle belongs to the Lord. We know our God is a man of war. We know our God has never failed or can ever be defeated. So we stand in faith and we declare your greatness, O Lord. This morning, continue to teach us. Continue to pray through us. Spirit of God, who welcome you into our midst. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Be with the church here, everywhere, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are in Revelation chapter 6. And he opened. Yeah, we can go from verse 6, 7. Yeah, we can go from verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed him, and power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. So, we should not be confused, with the contents of the scroll, which is not being revealed. Only the seals are being broken, okay? Because we know the scroll is there, written on both sides and sealed with seven seals. Right now the contents are not being read. What we are seeing are the seals that are being broken, and we know it is the Lamb that opens the seal, and it is his servants, the four living creatures, who call out the riders. And now we are seeing the fourth one, a pale horse. Okay, the pale horse. We saw that on Monday. Can't believe it's only Friday, right? Literally, there's a sense that time is literally going so fast. Okay. It cannot be moving faster. I mean, God can do all kinds of things, so he can make it move faster, and we don't even know about it, but it feels like it's like so fast. Like, I just feel like I preached on Monday, and already it is Friday. Yes, Sunday is already almost here. But what we need to realize is that a power was given to him over a fourth of the earth. One fourth of the world population will die during this period of history, which is very close, the tribulation period, okay? And that's why we have to be careful. One for, like right now it's 2 billion, 8 billion people. That is 2 billion people will die. Can you imagine the dead bodies? COVID time, the crematoriums are working overtime 24/7, day after day after day. Burials, dead bodies. 2 billion people dying, meaning, people, all people will be doing is just burying the dead. Okay, because there are two groups actually that will die during this period. One group are the unsaved, and the other, of course, are the martyrs who will be martyred during. Okay? So these are the people who die, the unsaved are the people who probably has taken the mark of the beast. And by the way, the Tesla Neuralink, their first Neuralink chip was implanted last week into the brain of somebody. Okay? Last week. Okay. I mean, you have to look at the good side of it and the bad side of it. You cannot sell anything unless you see the good side of it. So, okay, that's how it is sold. This Neuralink is given for somebody who's physically, mentally decapacitated, and therefore that brain is able to send the signals, the chip is able to give it to the computer so that the person can function. So there's a good in it. But remember, that's ultimately, that's what is going to happen, the mark of the beast. Okay, has to be, we see the technology and it has to be a chip that will be implanted without, which it's like a credit card, without scanning it, you cannot buy or sell. And we saw how much it is in India, country like in India and China, the big populations, how much it is like this technology has come in. So we need to realize that those people will die. Many will die. 2 billion will die. And these are the unsaved. The reason why I say much of it is unsaved is because you see death is followed by Hades. In Revelation 20:13, you will see when the final judgment, okay, 21:3, 20:13, you will see there, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. We know this is the judgment of the dead. Primarily the ones who did not receive Jesus to be saved. So you see the 2 billion plus people who will die during this. Okay, these are primarily the unsaved. Primarily the unsaved. And of course, then there are those who will believe and be saved. So we need to see what is happening over here. Okay, so this is very, very, very scary parts of the Bible, which is true. The other group who will die are those who will believe and die. They are martyred. After the rapture, you have what is called the tribulation saints. Okay, I personally believe this is the Laodicean church, the worldwide compromise Laodicean church, and we could be a part of it. Okay, who will miss the rapture? Yet they knew and they believed after the event. So in Revelation chapter 9, then verses 13 to 15, we will see. Okay, we will see. The sixth angel, Revelation 7:9. 7:9 and then 13 to 15. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude which no one could number of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these? See, only in heaven where an answer is a question, okay? You cannot even understand heaven's grammar. One of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these? But that's a question, but he's answering. Basically, he's asking a question to a question which is in John's mind. Okay, so even grammar doesn't function the way we think in heaven. Who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to him, these are, meaning he had the answer, John had the question. So he asked John the question because he had the answer. Okay. So I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So these are the ones who come through the tribulations. Because in tribulation period, if you believe, you will have to die for what you believe. Okay? So, that's basically, that's why the urgency to radically change now. Don't wait for then. Don't wait. And of course, a lot of people will believe. A lot of Christians will realize. Everybody knows about rapture. Every Christian knows about rapture. So when the rapture takes place, if you are not in the rapture, your faith has been solidified. Only you have been left behind. Okay, so please understand. So therefore, come back. Okay. Okay, it is a scary thing. It's a scary thing. So going back to Revelation 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, we will see. So, come and see, 89. So he will kill 1/4 of it. That is 25% will go. Then he opened the fifth seal. Okay. Now we had the four horses and then he's opening the fifth seal. And I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Okay. This is a whole set of people, Okay. These are people from, I would say, Abel onwards. Okay. People who have died for the testimony and the word of God. Okay. And it talks about the servants and the brethren. We'll see that in verse 11. We will see that over there. But who will be, if you say, number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So you will see this is a continuous process. Even when we are not aware of, there are people still, even while we speak, who are dying for what they believe. It's never recorded on earth. No FIRs, nothing. They are being killed. So the issue here is this. The main issue here is this. People are very scared. People are very, very scared. We have to deal once and for all with the fear of death. We have to deal. Hebrews 2, we know that, verse 14 to 15. Inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Okay? It's the fear of death that keeps you in bondage. Okay? The fear of death. And we have to overcome it. We have to overcome it. If you don't overcome it, please understand, you will not overcome. You will not overcome. If you go to Revelation 12 and verse 11. Revelation 12 and verse 11. They overcame him, whom? Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Okay, that is very easy. But the thing is that they did not love their lives to the death. The problem is, we love our present life. That is our issue. We love our present life. Those who overcome do not love their present life. If you come to Matthew 10 and verse 39, this is what Jesus says. 10:39, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, he who finds his life will lose it. You will lose it. When? On the day of judgment, you will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Okay, so this is our issue. If you love your life, you won't be willing to lose it. You won't be willing to lose it. And the demand of the king is always, come to me and find life. But to find the life he's offering, we should be willing to lose our life. And there is always this fear of death associated with it. If you don't overcome it, at some point you will compromise. That is why in this list, the first is always put the fearful. Fearful. You have to deal with this because you have to, these are things which you reconcile, reach a decision in your mind right in the beginning. Okay. So Daniel is just not making a decision about food. He has already thought it out. If I say no, what is the worst case scenario? I might be executed. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that because you're a slave. You're a prisoner. You have no choice to make. And the king has selected you, put you over there, and this is the food that has been given and you're supposed to eat it. And if you're going to start your career with defiance to a king's edict, the answer is death. The result is death. But he's already made up his mind. It's worth dying right in the beginning for something that is true than to love compromise and love. And people haven't made this decision in their minds and they fear and they fear and they worry and they're anxious and God is not able to really do anything with them. Because you have to deal with this fear. In any situation you are in caught, you are caught, you have to ask, what is the worst case scenario? Normal democratic system, worst case scenario, you are indicted by the court, you go to prison, and you may die in prison. Big deal. People are not ready for that. People are not ready for that. So what is martyrdom? Martyrdom is dying for a cause. And there have been martyrs all through history for various causes, and all their deaths were useless in eternity. The only death that is considered valid in eternity is when you die for the king, for the gospel, and for righteousness' sake. You do not make this decision right in the beginning. I'm telling you, you will never become an overcomer. You'll never become an overcomer. I'm not saying you do not have salvation. I'm saying the promises in the Bible are always to the overcomers. So these are personal decisions people have to make. Joseph made that decision. He probably knew, you cannot, if you say no, where you're going. Okay, but he's made, it's worth it. It's worth it. Okay, that is why we preach the king and the kingdom. Again, there are people in the Bible, like Ittai and all, who are considered great people, okay? Because you see, he said, I would rather die with my king than serve with the usurper. There's an usurper sitting on the throne. I'm not going to go there and be serve him. Ahitophel went to the other side. Ittai, the Gittite, went, came this side. And he says, where you go, you go. Okay, so these kind of convictions people need to have. And people don't have convictions. And what happens is, you make your molehill into a mountain. Simply because you're not ready to die. Simply because you're not ready to die. The fact of the matter is, if Jesus tarries to come, we will all anyway die. Okay. You cannot escape death. We are all going to die one day. The question is, how are you going to die? So the question is never whether you will die. The question you have to answer is, how am I going to die? How am I going to die? Okay. When a soldier enters the army, he has actually signed his death warrant. He has agreed to die. But a soldier who dies in battle is considered a martyr. He is given the highest honors. So the soldiers die of many reasons in the army, of sickness and accidents and all. But it's only one set of soldiers who are given the highest, that is in the battlefield, in valor. And he is considered a martyr. Now, that is where Paul will bring this illustration of us who enter into the kingdom as entering God's army. And our only intention is to please our commander. That's our only intention. And this is what the Bible is talking about. Jesus said, I have released you from the fear of death. If you fear death, you are the devil's slave. He will hold you in bondage. He will hold you in bondage. And the problem is that fear, because that is the root, that's the mother. Fear is the mother. From that comes anxiety, worry. All the things are birthed out of fear. He says, ultimately you end up serving whom you fear. Okay? Fear. That is why when parents encourage children to study, they should encourage children to study and not cause fear. That if you don't study, well, this is what will happen to you at the end. Then the motivation is fear. That's a very bad motivation. Very bad motivation. Very bad motivation. Okay? We should never be motivated by fear, because Christ has set us free. Free from that bondage, because it's the devil then who controls your life. So you will see here there are martyrs. And in the tribulation period, millions and millions of people will turn around and put their solid faith in Christ and decide to die. They will realize they will have to overcome that fear. So that is what the Bible is talking about. So we need to ask ourselves this question. There are two lives God offers. Either your life on earth. If you love it, you will lose it. You will lose it. And we know, we have heard it so many times, right? Abraham and Lot. Lot loved this life. He was given many chances. I mean, he had this awesome witness right before his eyes, the life of Abraham. But he chose the other life. And ultimately, you will see, he will lose it. He lost everything. Okay. But Abraham gains everything. So, we have to look at these pictures. Otherwise, what will happen? We will not see. We will not see what God is actually doing. So, the question is there. If you will see the saints going back. Okay. There are the martyrs. Okay. And I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Like I said, every religion, every ideology has produced martyrs. But in eternity, it is useless. It is pointless. It is useless in eternity. In eternity, the only thing that mattered is, why did you die? For whom did you die? These were people who had slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had held. And Jesus talks about in his time, he says, from Abel to Zechariah. He gives a list of people who died. Okay, he commends them. He commends them. And then in the new covenant begins with Stephen dying. And he literally died because he stood for the word and gave his testimony and they killed him. Literally. Okay, so the question is there. And they all cried with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. Okay, so you need to understand where you see them is under the altar. Okay, so the church has to see, understand persecution and the martyrdom of God's people, which has been going on from Abel onwards. And what the fifth seal reveals is it is not meaningless. It is not meaningless. It is the ultimate sacrifice a soldier offers to his Lord, the Lord of Sabaoth, Christ. And here, they are not looking for vengeance per se, okay, but a vindication of what they stood for. Sometimes you stand for a cause, okay, and you are imprisoned for that cause. You are not looking for vengeance over the people who put you in prisons. You are saying, there can be two ways you can look at the same, and one is wrong, one is right. One way is that I want vengeance on the people who threw me here. The other side is, I want to be vindicated that I was right. That is how Joseph will never take revenge, but he is vindicated. So he will say, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I was vindicated. You see, I don't have to prove to anybody I was innocent. In time, God proved and vindicated that I was innocent. Okay, so that is how you have to look at, because this vengeance is a very dangerous thing. It's a very, very dangerous thing. You want to be vindicated, that's fine. You want to be vindicated, okay? Okay, that's why Jesus on the cross prays, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. They don't know what they are doing. So please understand this difference, because the parallel Jesus will actually speak is in Luke 18. Okay, Luke 18, 7 and 8. Okay, we know about the widow. Shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Okay, the elect are crying out day and night. We see on earth and in heaven. How long? And he bears long with them. Why? Because he does not want others to perish. So everywhere you will see this time comes into the picture. Everywhere time comes into the picture. But I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. But when you are talking about speedily, again you have to put time in heaven's perspective. 2 days is like 2,000 years. Okay, speedily. Nevertheless, the whole question God is asking is, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? People who are still praying? What are they praying? What is this prayer? Who cry out day and night to him. What is this prayer? Thy kingdom come. That is the answer. And that is one prayer most people don't pray. Because they don't want the kingdom coming, because then they will lose their life. All their dreams are connected with this. Okay. So ultimately, God will bring forth judgment on the world. Okay. He will pronounce the saints as righteous. He has to judge. If he has to pronounce the saints as righteous, he has to judge the others. Okay, we need to understand. Look at that. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of these things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. You know what the world did? The world, the flood did. The flood judged the world, but vindicated Noah. Noah's work of 120 years. Vindicated. Till the flood came, he looked like an absolute idiot. Why are you living like this? What is the point of the work you are doing? Doesn't make any, there's no profit in this work. Just labor with no profit. Your preaching doesn't make any sense. Nobody's listening to your preaching. Everybody's laughing at your work. Okay. But when judgment came, it vindicated Noah. That is why we, yesterday's Nepal message, you were in there, we say, you can only do these things by faith, because in faith, you don't see. You have to believe. You don't see, you have to believe. The question is how long you have to believe till the very end. Okay, that's what it's talking about. Or if you go to 2 Peter chapter 4 to 9, again you will see the vindication of the righteous and the judgment. Okay, because this is basically what is happening. Chapter 2 Peter 2, 4 to 9. Okay, if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So first, there is a judgment in heaven. When a judgment in heaven, there is a separation in heaven. One set of angels are cast down and the others are all fine. Why? Because they did not join the rebellion. Then it comes to humanity. Did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. So there is a vindication. Third one, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. So there is a vindication of a man. Why are you living? Okay, you have to first blame him for living in their midst. But he at least lived righteously in their midst. So he was vindicated. Vindicated. Remember, they mocked him. On that last day, he said, what? You come here to judge us? We will do something worse to you. So they knew he was not part of them. They lived that way. It's not a very easy thing. But ultimately, his life vindicated him. Vindicated. That's what God is talking about. Get the point? So, the point here is not the relationship of the martyrs with their persecutors. But it's simply the validity of their faith. That is what it's saying. If you go back and check, that's exactly what it is saying in that. Okay? Yeah, verse 9. Okay? For those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. They had gone to their death in their confidence that God's word is true. I can die for it. God's word is true. That is what the ultimate end of faith. Do you believe what you hear? Okay. Do you believe what you hear? If you believe, how much do you believe? How much do you believe? See, if you know something is absolutely true, the question is, are you willing to die for it? There are people in the world who are willing to believe for a lie which they believe is true. He says, you know it is true. And you are not willing to die for it. So it's a validity, their validity of their faith. They had gone to their death. It is absolute confidence that God's word is the ultimate truth. Because remember, they were slain for the word of God. This book, what is written in this book, they went to die because they said it is true. It is true. Because at the end, if tyranny and all forms of wickedness do not meet with God's retribution, then our faith is an illusion. We have believed in vain. The Bible says we have believed in vain. Okay? That's why the souls will receive white robes, which are symbols of blessedness and purity they will receive. He says, give them white robes and let them rest a little while longer until both. So even when they are saying how long, please understand they are not restless. In heaven, everybody has a rest. Let them rest a little longer. It is not let them now have rest. No, they are resting, but they are waiting how long. Okay, they are resting, but how long? It's like sitting in a VIP lounge and waiting for your flight to be announced. You are resting, but you are waiting. When will all this be over? Over. So please remember this. This is how it happens. When God, okay, so we go back to the other verses. We'll go down to verse 12. You will have when that is opened, what happened. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became like blood, and the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Okay, this is going to be like never before, and you will see it agrees with what Jesus said in Matthew 24:29, Mark 13:24-25. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of heavens will be shaken. 13:24-25. Another parable he put forth to tell them. Kingdom of heaven. Oh, no, 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 no. Mark, not Matthew. Mark 13. In those days after that tribulation, sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of the heaven will fall, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. Luke also says the same thing. Okay, so God is saying here, basically the stars is talking about meteors. Okay, meteors. There will be catastrophic changes both in heaven and heaven, the visible heaven, not the invisible heaven, the visible heaven and on earth. 6:14 will say every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now, if you read the Old Covenant, this is all prophesied. If you go to Isaiah chapter 2 and read from verse 10 onwards, okay, it's all, enter into the rock and hide in the dust, for the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Upon the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, upon every fort, meaning, if you look at the satellite pictures of Gaza in October 7 and the current picture, you will see the landscape has been flattened. But that is nothing. The whole earth is going to be flattened. That's why I said don't waste your life time in going to these malls, because there will be nothing left. It will be flattened by God. Every mountain, hill, everything that has lifted up, man's pride, the highest tower, everybody is competing to make the highest, all of them will be down. Everything will come down, because this is the pride of man, okay, apart from his creator. And God says, upon the ships of Tarsus, upon all the beautiful slopes, which are smaller ships, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. But the idols he shall utterly demolish. They shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Okay. In that day, a man will cast away his idols of silver because it will be pointless. Okay. So everywhere you will see that, whether you read in Haggai, whether you read it in Isaiah, whether you read it in Nahum, everywhere you will see that. That's what is being described in Revelation 6, 12 onwards. You will see. Let's read the whole portion, 12 onwards. So we'll see. The stars of heaven fell to the ground, fig tree drops. In verse 14, 15. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. Every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man hid themselves in the caves, in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. There's no place to hide. You see, all the rich men, the big guys and the government powerful, they're all building bunkers. Inside, either in mountains or in islands. Zuckerberg and all are building $100 million bunkers to escape. And God is saying, you can't escape. I will shake every island, break down every mountain. You will have no place to hide. That's what God is talking about, is sovereignty. No one will be able to. I wish these people read this so they don't waste their money. They spend it on something else. There is no place you can hide. Literally. Because if you read the news, this is exactly what they are doing. They're expecting a catastrophe to come and they're building inside mountains in the island. And Zuckerberg has bought a whole area of an island in Hawaii and is building. And you need to... You have in what is called NDA in US called non-disclosure agreement, meaning if I hire 10 of you for to do a project for me, I will make you sign an agreement that what you did it in my company, you are not allowed to speak to anybody. If you do it, you will be sued in court and you can go to prison for that. He has got even the Masons to write NDAs that what is happening in the island, nobody can know. The entire construction team. So you need to realize they know something is coming. They are fearful about it. They are preparing for it, but they cannot hide. Okay, so rapture for us is not an option. It is a necessity. Okay, think. It's not an option. It is a necessity. So the world is slowly hurtling towards it is logical end, because this is the end of sin. You will have to have an encounter with the living God. Okay, and it is called the wrath of the Lamb. Okay, the day of vengeance has come. Okay. So it is called the wrath of the Lamb. It's very strange, but that's the time when even the Lamb will run out of his patience. Okay, let's read Nahum chapter 1, 2 to 6. The Lord is slow to anger, great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind, in the storm, the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry, it dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither, the flower of Lebanon wills. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt, the earth heaves at his presence. Yes, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Okay, go back and read again the same portion, Revelation 6, 15 to 17, 6. Okay. The kings of the earth, Garitke, everyone is hiding. And what are they crying out? Say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Everywhere the same question. Malachi will say in 2:1, who is able to stand? Who's able to stand? You know what? Revelation 7 will give you the answer. The crowd who is standing before him because they have their robes washed by the blood of the Lamb. Question, who can stand? Only those who are washed by his blood. And these who are not, nobody will be able to stand. If you have to stand before God, you need to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. And to be covered in his righteousness. They will be able to stand and declare his glory while all the great men of the world are hiding in their terror. They cannot escape. They cannot escape. So that is why the urgency. What is the urgency? To preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Why the gospel of the kingdom of God? This is the result of the kingdom of God coming down to earth. That is why we say repent, the kingdom of God is near. When he preached 2000 years ago, it was near. So how much closer? The closer it gets, you see all this happening. And the final words for today, and we shall close. We'll go to prayer. Matthew 24 verse 14. I just want to throw this in the air so that you can think about it. So this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will, and then the end will, then the end will come. Children, so let me ask you, in whose hands is the end? In the hands, our hands. He says there are two ways you can bring the kingdom of God down. One, preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, witness to everybody. Second, as a bride, get ready. And the end will come. He says, if you don't, it will delay. Why has the bridegroom delayed? Ask this question, why should the bridegroom delay? You meaning he's lazy? He's indisciplined? So you need to understand, it is given to the church. It's the job of the church, every individual Christian, that if you are a witness of the gospel of the kingdom and it reaches the ends of the earth as a witness, you cannot convince, but you have to be a witness. You shall be my witnesses. Okay, we are witnesses of that kingdom. We cannot convince or convert anybody, but we can be a witness. Okay, Joseph was just a witness. He did not convert anybody, but everybody said that Hebrew, that Hebrew, that Hebrew, that Hebrew. He was a witness. It doesn't show anybody was converted by his life over there because they still loved their idols, but he was a witness. It doesn't say Daniel converted anybody over there, but he was a witness. That's all we are called to be, a witness. And some people will believe that witness and turn around. And many will not. But the question is, once the gospel of the kingdom, you take the kingdom out, it is not a gospel. It's not God's gospel. Because gospel just means good news. The good news is this, the end is coming, it's getting closer and closer. And this year, unlike every year, began with an earthquake. 31st night, January morning. Early first morning, Japan was hit by one of the biggest earthquakes in their recent history, and really people died. And this is a nation which is designed to resist all this. Their construction is that way, and they could not. And the wars and all the things that are happening over here. But God says, remember, this is about the kingdom getting closer and closer and closer. So we shall pray. And we shall continue preaching. But do not fear death. If you fear death, any problem you are going through, honestly looking at any problem you are going through, you have to reach, go through it, and you will always realize, if this problem is not resolved, ultimately the end is death. If you are not afraid of death, then you don't worry about your problem. Problem is people are very, very worried and anxious because they haven't handled this. These are things, I'm not boasting, they're things which I desired 30 years ago. What will happen if I preach? Ultimately they may arrest and put me in prison, I may die in prison, big deal. What's so big deal about? What's so great about it? You're not the first man to go to prison and die. Millions of people have been tortured and killed in prison. If you're the first one, it's a unique experience. From Abel onwards, people have been dying. What is the big deal about this? Why do we make this into a big thing? The thing is that the answer is inside. You are fearful. That's why God says the first in the list are the cowardly. Okay, cowardly. And he says, you're not fit for the kingdom. You cannot be used in the kingdom because you're fearful, because the devil knows your fears and touch your fear. And then you will be worrying and anxious and everything. All this thing goes over it. You know, and that's how we have to look at life. You cannot be afraid. It is not allowed. Simple. Because if you're afraid, you will be useless. I mean, think about a darpuk in the army. Where will they put him? Where will they put him? They cannot use him. Okay, they cannot use him. Okay. And that's why in one thing in the army, to the soldiers who actually fight, what is given free? Liquor. It's part of their rations to overcome. They're given liquor. Okay. Okay. That's called Dutch courage. Okay. It's a different spirit. You know, you see drunk men are very brave. Very brave. They are ready to fight anybody. That's the reason. Because fear is not acceptable. Fear is not acceptable. Okay. And the devil is, that's what he's called, a roaring lion. He's not called a lion. He's called a roaring lion. Why does a lion roar? To cause fear. He doesn't, see, a lion that roars does not, I know I've said this illustration many years back. In the old days, when the cattle are brought in, they are brought in this, in Africa and all, they are brought in into a stockade, and they are closed. And the lion knows he cannot break the stockade, it is too strong for him. So what he will do, he will walk around and he will roar. When he roars, the cattle inside will start panicking. And they will cause a stampede and break the stockade. And they will come out and he picks his choicest meat for that day and goes home and has his dinner. So the question is, who broke the fence? You did, because of your fear. Because of your fear. You broke. And that's what he causes. That's why he can smell fear. That's why I always say, when don't run when a dog comes. Stop. Stop. Don't run. The dog sends fear. They will bite you. They will bite you. Okay? They will bite you. Don't run, because animals can sense fear. Okay? Animals can sense fear. And once you are fearful, you are like clay in the enemy's hands. He can take you in whichever direction he wants. And you will worry your head. You will be anxiety. You know, these are all connected. That's why God says, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Okay. But you have to deal with this, because at the end of it, you look at life, at the end of it, we all have to die one day, one way or other. The question is only, how will you die? Will you die fearless, or will you die fearful? Will you die fearless, or will you die fearful? And the enemy has held everybody bondage by the, not by death, but the fear of death. He cannot hold us bondage, because death was commanded by God, not by him. But he brought that fear of death. Fear of death. And he holds it. Okay. You are practically useless in the kingdom of God. So deal with that fear first. Amen. Let us have Peter. Father, this morning we just come to you, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took our form, came as man. And through death, you conquered death. And have released us from the fear of death. I pray, Lord, today, everyone who hears will believe. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear death. That those who have believed, put their faith in Christ Jesus, death is only going home. Because it's the fear of death that causes more issues than the problem itself. It brings worry, it brings anxiety, it brings all kinds of unwarranted diseases into the body. And men and women are not able to think through rationally because fear and worry overwhelms them.
Yes.
And I pray, Father, today somebody would be delivered from that fear.
Yes, yes.
For you said, fear not.
For I am with you.
And you said, I have not given you the spirit of fear. Because it's a terrible master. Fear only has slaves. It doesn't have sons and daughters. All who serve fear are slaves. Deliver, Lord. Deliver, 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 Lord. Deliver. Deliver, Lord. Deliver. Set the captives free. For this purpose the Son of Man came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And one of his greatest works has been to hold men, women, children captive by fear. The fear of death. Release people, Lord. Your people. So that we can truly function and be useful vessels in the kingdom without fear crippling us. Because the Bible says the bold, the righteous are bold as lions. They have dealt with their fears. Touch, Lord, touch. Touch, Father.
Oh Lord, have mercy. Mercy.
For you have not given us the spirit of fear,
Jesus,
but a power of love and a sound mind, oh Lord. Because fear destroys thinking. It perverts, corrupts thinking. Even when Adam, when that spirit of fear came upon him, he ran away from God instead of running towards God. He hid from God. It was fear that caused him to do it. It was fear that caused David to hide in the Philistine camp and serve the Philistine king. The man who was anointed to destroy the enemy was serving the enemy because of fear. One thing. The martyrs are those who overcame their fears. And they were not willing. They were willing to die for their testimony and for the word of God. But the tribulation, the judgments of God is a vindication that their faith was not in vain. It was genuine. It was true. So today I pray there would be a quickening in the hearts and the spirits of your people. A boldness, supernatural boldness would come. As God told Joshua, the land lies before you. But be bold and courageous. But at the first defeat, Joshua fell fearful and cried like the rest, why did we have to come here? Fear gripped him. Touch, Lord, touch. Touch even the young ones sitting here. That they will be full of faith and not fear. Because when fear comes, faith goes, love goes, sound mind goes, everything goes. Because that's what you asked the disciples when they were fearful because of the storm and feared for their lives. Jesus said, why are you so fearful? Where is your faith? Be boldness in the kingdom, the king's servants, his children, boldness. Because he said the time is not yet, because a full number has not yet come in. There could be many who are listening who may have to take the same path. But let them not fear. When the time comes, he will give us the grace to die bravely, boldly. until then, we will serve him boldly. We will look at the enemy in the eye and says, I fear only my God.
Yes, yes, yes. Jesus, help us, God.
We'll be able to answer, I pray, like Daniel's three friends. One thing we know, O King, our God can rescue us from this.
Yes.
Or he may not. What we know is what we should do. We will not bow.
Yes,
bend our knee to your threats. If we have to burn, we will burn.
Yes.
But we will not bow. Jesus. Father, we exercise the authority of the kingdom.
Yeah.
He said, in my name, we bind every power of darkness that has been released today.
Yes,
that has been released in the past days against the church.
Jesus,
we know demonic is at the highest, but Lord, the kingdom of God rules over every other kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
Therefore, in the name of Jesus, I bind every power of darkness, every demonic entity, in every place that our destinies are tied up with, the courtrooms, the Middle East, the courtrooms ACE is fighting in US. It's demonic, it's diabolic. But we bind those powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. We command those demons to leave in Jesus' name. We release the unction and the fear, the terror of the Lord upon the people who sit there, that they will not pervert justice. That all of them are answerable one day to Christ. We cancel out everything that has been spoken against us in these wicked places. We continue to proclaim your word, that no weapon that is formed against us will prosper. Every lying tongue that rises against us in judgment, in condemnation, in sorcery, in rituals, in witchcraft, in obey, santeria, whichever occult group it is, lodges all around the world. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. And we speak the word of God over all our situations. God will prevail. His purpose will prevail. His will prevail over all our lives, all our children, spiritual and otherwise. The siege will break. We will see the release. For God will move this mountain out of the way. For it is not by might or by our power. It's by your spirit. Spirit of God, move over all these situations, Lord. Let's speak healing into everybody. Strength into everybody. And your peace and your rest into every soul. We just thank you. We praise you. We worship you, Lord. We once again, we stand here and we declare, thine
and
is
the kingdom,
the power and the glory,
forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Amen.